Action on the Way next this morning, brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And 70 degrees on a Friday morning. An opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time talking with Melissa Ruprecht from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. And summertime's a-coming. Graduation either tonight or next week, depending on when the school you're talking about. And that means we're in that summertime schedule for mom and dad. People are packed in the house a little bit more. Mom's trying to get the kids go play outside. They want to go come in and play the Xbox games or whatever. And stress happens, right?
Yeah, and it's getting to the point where it's going to start warming up, getting hotter. People's moods are going to change because it's getting hotter. They're going to be more irritable. And kids aren't going to want to go outside as much, so that means they may be getting into more things at home. Swimming's going to be starting.
Yep.
So you're going to have to...
Either the backyard pool or the local pools, yeah. Either way.
And either way, it's going to require maintenance, because yeah. If you have a backyard pool, you got to add and keep maintaining it, and that costs money.
Yeah.
So the stresses
of... Run the filter all the time.
Yeah. The stresses of the money, the electricity from the air conditioning, the kids being irritable because they're hot and tired, you being irritable because you're hot and tired, all that plays into domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm. And that means that the number of reports that the police get are more mm-hmm. frequent, and maybe more from the same address.
Yes. Yeah. And then at that point, it's where you got to figure out, what do I need to do? We have, you know, shelter available.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stay in Bartlesville, there's shelters in Tulsa, Claremore, and there's other surrounding mm-hmm. as well. So you just got to figure out, what do I need to do, and what can I do to try to, you know, prevent the abuse from happening, whether it's leaving or...
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of strategies, and the whole family ends up, or at least most of the whole family, maybe mm-hmm. not the abuser, I hope they do, strategizing, trying to keep a lid on the situation mm-hmm. and not keep something going from verbal to physical.
Yes, yeah.
There's some strategies I know you guys have to offer. Mm-hmm. Some of it is, once you stop and think about it, sounds like common sense, but we don't always think about it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, with it getting to the point where you're going to have more stresses because of summer, you know, there's certain holidays. 4th of July is coming up. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big holiday.
People like to pack the kids in the car and go somewhere.
Yes, family vacations. That's going to cost money. You're going to be in a car for how many hours together, or flying in an airplane. All these stresses can contribute to the anger and irritability, the control issues. Because mm-hmm. domestic abuse is about power and control, not anger. It comes off as if it's anger,
yeah.
But it's power and control. And if he can't control how much money's being spent because the air conditioner's running, or how much money you had to spend because now they tacked on more fees at the airport, or gas prices went up ginormously, you had this trip planned, and gas prices were decent, other prices were good.
Flat tire on the road.
Yeah, all these unexpected things occur. And when you can't control that, if you are an abuser, it's going to set you off.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it had nothing to do with the wife, the girlfriend, the kids, they got to get out on somebody.
Yeah, and since, well, somebody, it's just human nature. Somebody's going to take the blame.
Yes. Yeah, and typically it's the loved one. And, of course, they're going to take it out, whether it's verbally or physically. And, of course, they're going to make it so where no one can see, and it's not going to be done in public.
Mm-hmm.
It's most likely going to be done in the house or the hotel room, you know, someplace where no one can see.
Yeah. The abused individual may not be wearing that swimsuit they bought, because somebody would see it then.
Yes. Unless, you know, maybe they had a one piece and they left all the bruises on the chest area.
Yeah.
And not on the legs or the arms.
That is possible.
Yeah.
Depending on, again, where the bruises occur or whatever. The back may be lower than it would cover whatever happens there.
Mm-hmm.
So
they may wear a t-shirt over top.
Yep.
To still be able to enjoy swimming. And some people, I mean, you can't look at someone and say, oh, well, that person's abused because they're dressed this way. They could be just comfortable.
Or sun sensitive, you know.
Yeah. So we can't look at that and make assumptions. But abused people are going to find ways to cover it up. Because I don't want everyone to see I'm being beat. I have bruises on me because of...
Really, Melissa, I didn't notice. I'm kidding. But that is the individual works to make things all right.
Mm-hmm.
Typically try to not aggravate the abuser so that it doesn't happen again.
Yes. And no matter what the victim does, there's absolutely no way she can prevent it. If he wants to abuse her, he's going to find a reason and he's going to find a way. And you can walk on eggshells, you can do everything he asks of you, but then he may change it up and be like, oh, well, you didn't do this perfectly. Or the kids weren't in bed by exactly 8:30. Or this toy was left on the floor. My food wasn't cooked appropriately. They're going to abuse you. They're going to find a reason.
Mm-hmm. And there are always reasons to be found if you're looking for them.
Exactly.
So it's a matter now of, I guess, first of all, the family members, the other partners of the abuser, they're walking on eggshells too.
Yes.
And they have the suspicion it's likely coming. When? Mm-hmm. What can I do, if anything, to strategize to avoid, delay, keep it from coming?
Yeah. But in reality, there's no way they can prevent it.
Mm-hmm. But that's still what's going on in their mind.
Yeah. At that point, it's hard to leave a relationship when you're at that tension-building stage where you know it's coming. There may be a way out, but it's probably not the safest time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the safest time to leave is right after it's happened, and now he's moved into the honeymoon phase, where, I'm sorry, it will never happen again. He's buying you roses, buying you candy, taking you out for extravagant gifts or dinners. That's the easiest time to leave, and it's the safest.
Okay.
So at that point, that's where you need to step in and, you know, come down to our agency. Get a protective order. Or go and get shelter. Because leaving when the tension is building is harder. I'm not saying it's not possible. You can leave before it happens. But it's harder to leave because he's going to be watching you like a hawk. And
there are strategies that can be done, but a lot of them include the things you already talked about. Visiting with the counselor at the shelter or visiting at your office, for that matter. You are there to stand behind alongside, actually, the victim. Go to court with him if necessary and help. Of course, it takes police documentation frequently, so you kind of have to counsel them as well. Make sure this is documented somehow, someplace.
Well, and even if they decide not to report it to the police, they can still come to our agency. What they say to us, we mark as truth. Because we're not there. We don't know. So they don't ever have to report it to the police if they feel like, oh, well, if he goes to jail, he can't support the kids. That may be okay. If he's leaving you alone, that's fine. But you may need to get a protective order. And you don't have to have, as long as it is an intimate partner relationship, you do not have to have a police report.
Okay.
You can just come straight in and say, this is what he's done. If you have bruises or marks, we can take pictures and put that in the chart that we create under your file.
Right.
And then you can take that to court and be able to present it as evidence that when I came in to get this protective order, I had a black eye or I had marks on my shoulder or my stomach.
And of course, any other documentation, those texts that were sent back and forth, all are there, I assume, still on the phone or available that can be presented as part of the court record when necessary.
Yes, definitely. If he's texting you harassing messages, harassing voicemails, make sure you keep all that documentation. If you can, find a way to print it off. If you can't figure it out, find someone who can. That way you have it documented and you can hand it straight to the judge or even straight to the police officers. Because mm-hmm. if you get a protective order, they cannot have any contact whatsoever with you through text message, phone calls, someone else, emails, you name it. They cannot have contact with you, period, mm-hmm. unless a judge specifically says this is the only way you can contact the person. And usually that's about the children. Mm-hmm. And they take that into consideration. How dangerous is this person? And is it the best interest to have them go through mom, or in some cases dad, to talk to the children? Or would it be better to go through a third party, a relative of one of the families mm-hmm. that they both can trust? And so those are some ways that they can maneuver that. But if they're still contacting you, and let's say they can contact you about the children only. So he's texting you about the children, then all of a sudden slips in something that has nothing to do with the children. That's a breach of the protective order. Mm-hmm. And that's when you need to step up and report that as a violation.
And so that's the way the system works, and you're there to mm-hmm. Provide that information to the individual so they understand. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the court will adequately understand, but sometimes we're in a stress situation in court, and we don't always hear what the judge says the first time around.
Yeah, and that's why we have someone that goes. We actually have a lawyer that is through Legal Aid that is in our office, mm-hmm. and when they go to the final protective order hearing, if that client has said, I want this legal aid person to represent me, that lawyer goes with them and helps them present their case and fight the case.
That's great.
So we have that extra advocacy in our office.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Melissa Ruprecht, and it is getting to be the warmer period of the year, as if the temperatures weren't starting to speak for themselves. And we're talking about some of the services that are available through Family Crisis and Counseling. We'll continue in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. Again, spending a little bit of time this morning on a community connection with Melissa Ruprecht and talking about domestic violence, particularly as the summertime conditions can aggravate the situation a little bit. Again, we talked about you have a shelter available, ideally locally, because that way you're not moving people too far, but there are cooperative agreements that you have with other shelters when necessary.
Yes. Usually, if our shelter ends up being full, we have absolutely no beds available for, you know, either one person to come in or a mom with children, mm-hmm. then we will recommend that they call Claremore Shelter or Divis in Tulsa. And if that doesn't work, there's one in Miami. There's one in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but that's a ways, and sometimes the individual will say, sounds great, but not too far. Yeah.
Yes, but sometimes you take what you can get.
Yeah.
Because there are times that, you know, Oklahoma City's full, or the person has found them in Oklahoma City, and Divis is full, SafeNet's full, but we have availability, and so we'll get people from all the way out in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We've had people come from other states, like way far away, thousands of miles away, just to get away from the abuser mm-hmm. and to get safe. So it's just a matter, is there availability? And if there's not, we refer out to other surrounding states or within our state.
Yeah.
To help them get safe.
Sure. It just, again, depending on the situation, and there are no two that are exactly identical, but I guess it would seem in most cases, for most situations, closer would probably be better, unless, like you said, they've already been found in the local shelter before.
Yeah. And in Bartlesville, our shelter is confidential. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't disclose the location.
Yeah.
But there are people that say, I know where the shelter is.
Well, and just because I deal with Crime Stoppers information, which is actually one level more anonymous, but sometimes people will still give, they'll self-identify. My name is blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm sorry, you already told us, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, people say things and talk when they, if they were thinking about it, they shouldn't.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's a matter of, staying in Bartlesville is not safe for them if their abuser has been stalking them or happens to know where the shelter is. Then sometimes getting them out of state to a different location to where he's not going to know where they're at is better.
Right. And so that sometimes, like you said, a couple hundred miles or more is necessary.
Yes.
What other services? Of course, the programs that you have for the individual once either the court has said you will change or they realize this is not best. You do have a couple of programs, men and women choosing to change, and it's a great system.
We don't have that
anymore. Okay.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since we've had that.
Okay, my bad. We haven't talked about it. Now I know why. But the counselors are there to help provide some support for the individual.
Yes, for the victim,
right,
and the children. So if your children are witnessing domestic abuse, we have classes that they can take. Typically, it's about school age, 4 or 5 years old. Depending on how talkative they are, depends on how long their session would be. So we can address by reading some books on domestic abuse that are written specifically for children.
Mm-hmm.
So it will cover domestic abuse, but not in the same depth it would if you were an older kid.
Sure.
Or an adult. We talk about social skills with the kids, because when you see domestic abuse, you think, oh, well, if dad can do this, or in some cases mom, I could do it too. They're going to act it out. They're going to behave this way, and that's just not...
Well, it becomes what we accept as normal.
Yes.
You know, if it goes on here, it must go on every place.
Yeah. And when you're talking to a kid, the world is all about me.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're going to think, well, this is normal. This is how life is. But then if they go over to a friend's house and they see their parents interacting appropriately, they're going to be like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
That's not how my parents act. And then, of course, if you have a child who has a friend who does not ever let your friend go over to their house, that might be a red flag on why does this kid not allowed to go over to that person's house?
Yeah, well, we can even play in the yard, but we're not going in.
Yeah. Why do I not want them to come in and see what my house is like?
Mm-hmm.
It may not have anything to do with it being messy. It may be perfect, but they don't want to show you what happens at their home.
Mm-hmm. And as that's, again, all kinds of... It can be a sign, and if you start adding them up, the likelihood increases, but one by itself is... It just could be a bad day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, again, the hotline is there for people to talk and get some information or some advice, I guess, if necessary.
Yeah. We have a counselor on call 24/7. If it's during the daytime, you'll get our office agency and they'll hook you up with someone to talk to. You can always walk in at any time and, you know, come in and say, I need to talk to someone about what I'm experiencing, and they'll talk with you, and then they'll help you decide, do I need to get a protective order? Do I need to go get shelter? And present those options for you, and then you can decide, what do I want to do with this? Or maybe I just need to get counseling and go talk to an advocate and find out how to cope with domestic abuse and how to move past it or how to get out safely. And so we can set them up with that.
Well, it would seem to me that the people that are calling frequently have either no or very limited options, and you're there mm-hmm. providing options for them that maybe they didn't even realize were possible.
Yes.
So you probably get some grateful calls after a while.
Yeah. We've had some people come in, and they were recommended by an employer or someone they knew, mm-hmm. and they had absolutely no clue that we even existed. But when they came in, they're like, man, this is awesome. I didn't know you guys were here. So, you know, getting out in the community and telling people, hey, I've heard about this place. Maybe you ought to come. Might be beneficial because it could.
And again, sometimes the neighbor has a 80-90% probability that they think they know what's going on mm-hmm. and will, you know, at the right time, at the right place, be able to say at least something, have you heard of, or mm-hmm. subtly give someone a shove in the right direction. That would help.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm, you know, it's one of those things. People will say, "Well, it's not my situation. I don't want to get involved." But when you become a friend, sometimes it's important you do get involved.
Yeah, and that's what these victims need: is they need support. They need someone they can call and say, "Hey, this is going on in my life, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go." So you just need to figure out what can I do. Maybe it's just be a listening ear. Maybe it's giving them advice, or if you have no clue how to give them advice, maybe it's giving them a referral to, hey, I've heard about this place. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should go down there and check it out.
Sound like a good idea. Mm-hmm. I try to always hit this because I know it's important. You always need certain supplies at the shelter. Donations are important, either just mm-hmm. to support the mission or, you know, supplies for the kids mm-hmm. and for the rest of the families that come in.
Yes. I don't know exactly what they need at this moment. However, if you have any questions, you can call, and either the receptionist will tell you because she may have a list, or if she's unsure, she can have the shelter manager call you back and let you know, hey, this is what we're in need of. So if you need to, or if you'd like to donate it.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things that I think may, you know, when you are on vacation, there's usually that bar of soap you didn't unwrap and that little, you know, sample shampoo and conditioner and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to be used, but if you don't use them, donate them to the shelter.
Yes. Yeah. Any little bit counts. So even if it's just, hey, I found something on Clarence and it was, you know, a pack of underwear or, you know, pants or a shirt or shoes.
Yep. It all is good.
Yeah. Sometimes we need toiletries like toothbrushes, toothpaste. So if you get some that you are like, I'm not going to use that, mm-hmm. we go to the dentist.
Yep.
When you get those little things from the dentist, if it's a brand you don't like or a flavor you don't like, you can donate it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, again, thank you so much for mm-hmm. coming in this morning. Summertime is a problem, and domestic violence will increase just because
yes.
it does.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you.
All right.
And we'll talk to you again next month.
Yep.
All right. That's our Community Connection on 1400 K1 News, on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network.
ONN News, I'm Jacqueline Scott. Good morning.